Any time, any season is the right time to be with you. Hello, Detroit. You've won my heart.
Yeah, what up, Detroit? Detroit.
Now everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up and follow me. Everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up.
Detroit basketball.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Detroit.
Hello, Detroit. Hello, America. Hello to everyone around the world listening to me. I am your host for Pistons Talk, David M. Allen, and it is wonderful to be here with you tonight. Thank you for tuning in. And we're here to talk a little Pistons, obviously. I don't want to focus on the negatives. It is true the Pistons have only won two games in their last 10. And that shit sucks. I won't sit here and sugarcoat that. There's been a lot of bad losses. There's been some close losses too, some games they should have pulled out, like against the Pacers. This time around, this should have happened. This win should have happened, but it didn't. In the end, it was too much Paul George. He had 32 big points, and it's nothing you can do about Peg. It really isn't. Paul George is going to do Paul George type things, and he decided to take the game over, and that's why he's one of the stars in this league, one of the superstars in this league, I should say. And in the end, I kind of felt like what the Pacers did the whole game paid off in the end, which was move the ball around, which was they were patient. They were patient. The Pistons actually had more assists than they did, but the Pacers made sure that they got the better shots, and that they did. They shot 58% from the field. So, however you feel about the Pistons' defense, and if you feel that they played great defense, at the end of the day, that's on you, and you feel how you feel. But the Pacers shot 58%, and they actually shot 56% from three. Why? Because they only took open shots for the most part. The Pistons, on the other hand, 34% from three. They just kept chucking away. Why, I do not know. It's kind of what they do, and it's what they've done all damn season. They only shot 49% overall, and it kind of hurt. It just did. I watched Monte Ellis go to the cup numerous times, including in the fourth quarter to close things out, and he kept penetrating. He would go to the cup. He would kick it out. He would make the extra pass. The whole Pacers team made the extra pass. I mean, you had five people in double figures. Paul George had 32 points. Miles Turner has 17. Jeff Teague has 17. Monte Ellis has 16. Kevin Serapin had 10. At the end of the day, what the Pistons need are two things. One, to get better on defense as far as rotating to the open man. I watched Miles Turner. I watched Paul George. Hell, name a Pacer. I watch them just come around on screen. Sometimes I just watch them just, you know, leave their man because they weren't paying attention. I caught the Pistons in the zone a couple of times, and nobody picked up the open man. I watched them play man-to-man. Nobody picked up the open man. Just, you know, people wide open shooting threes, shooting mid-ranges, going to the cup willy-nilly. I mean, that's what I seen. But on a positive note, I did see Reggie Jackson finally really put his fingerprints on the game, probably for the first time since he's been back. I seen him dishing the ball. I seen him taking Decent shots. Decent shots. I'll say that. I knew overall he wouldn't shoot a great percentage. He went 8 for 18. It's decent at best. But he only took 4 three-pointers, and he actually made 3. For the most part, he was open when he shot his threes. And even with the two-pointers, it's just, you know, it is what it is. And I'm not going to get mad at him because he had 12 assists. 20 points, 12 assists, nothing to sneeze at. He was aggressive. He, for the most part, he made the right plays. He tried last night. I mean, it was his best game since he's been back. I watched him jack up threes. I watched him refuse to pass. I watched him do all that stuff. So my message to Reginald is to just be patient and keep doing what you're doing. If this is how you're going to play, the Pistons can turn it around. Another thing that I realized is this. The Pistons really need a dynamic player in the fold. Like I said on the last Pistons talk, Marcus Morris, John Luer, to a certain extent, Tobias, Aaron, but they're all the same player. There are about 4 players on this team that are the same player. There's no one that strikes fear to the heart of the other team. Not even Andre Drummond. Andre, really all he has is he can dunk, and he has this little baby hook that he likes to do from time to time, which sometimes it goes in, but a lot of times it doesn't, and sometimes he has some really messed up field goal percentages at the end. I've seen him go, you know, 7 for 20 a few times and 5 for 14, and that shouldn't happen when you're a big man in this league. You should always have a great shooting percentage because usually all you do is really dunk. And if you have an off shooting percentage, it's because you can shoot from 18 feet out and you just had an off night. But Andre Drummond can't shoot. At least I haven't seen him shoot. He doesn't really try to shoot, so I assume he can't shoot. Until he develops that shot and becomes a threat, he's basically one-dimensional. And if you're going to be one-dimensional, be Shaq. If all you can do is the baby hook and dunk, be Shaq. Be aggressive. Kick ass down low. Punk everybody who steps within that little radius that is the rim. That is as that restricted line down there. Just punk everybody. That's just what you're going to have to do. I want to see more block shots. The rebound, he rebounds his ass off, but he really needs a for lack of a better term, a partner in crime. And John Luer is he's a okay player. He's better served to come off the bench or something like that. But if they had a really dynamic power forward, God damn it, you will see something different. If they had someone who could rebound or who could even stretch the floor out a little bit and shoot and really knock things down and was really a threat. I'm starting to back up off my thought of the Pistons need a really great point guard option, John Wall. And I'm really feeling like they could use a really, really solid 3 or a 4. It would be awesome to see. It would change the whole dynamic of the starting 5. And then you can move John Luer on the bench. And him and Tobias, who, by the way, since he's went to the bench, I mean, efficient, right? He's doing great. I'm loving the work I'm seeing from him. 9 for 14 last night, 22 points, 5 rebounds, couple of assists. I mean, he's doing well since he's moved to the bench. He really is. Obviously, when you're on the bench and you can see the flow of the game, you see what's going on, you can see where you can fit in and what can be done better, you come in and your mind state is different. I get everybody wants to start, everybody wants to be the man, but, I mean, we've had some people, you know, Manu Ginobili, Jamal Crawford, just to name a quick two. There's been plenty of people who've won 6-man in a year, you know, and it's been great their whole career, man. Manu has 4 rings. Ask that man how it worked out for him, playing starters, minutes off the bench, 6-man. Go ask him. So this is a great role for Tobias, and I think this should happen. Pistons had 6 players in double figures. KCP had 16. He didn't come on till late. I did not like his shooting percentage at all. 5 for 13. That's pretty shitty. But overall, when he decided to start going to the rack a little bit more, it started working out. He really needs to cut out that transition 3. 1 for 5. I mean, come on, man. Just because it's the fast break and nobody's on you doesn't mean you should shoot a 3. Everybody wants to be Steph. I get it looks fun. I get it gets highlights and retweets or it goes viral, whatever the hell. It just has to stop. All this, let me pull up. All this, let me shoot contested shots and for the sake of maybe I might knock one down. That shit has to stop. And it ruins his shooting percentage, and it really ruins and cheapens his game. When he finally got his head together in the fourth quarter, he got a little bit aggressive. He started going to the rack. He started kind of passing them shots and trying to, you know, get – I mean, he did have 5 assists last night. He was trying to get people involved a little bit here and there. He's a really good passer. I just wish he would do it more and just be multidimensional. I mean, I think the fans would appreciate it. I think your teammates would appreciate it. It's nothing wrong. I really think if he wanted to, he could average 20 points, 22 points, and probably 6 or 7 assists if he wanted to. There's no reason that KCP and Reggie Jackson shouldn't be a really dynamic backcourt. There's really no reason. But they both just want to shoot. And every once in a while, one or the other decides maybe I should pass more, maybe I should shoot less. And it should be an equal balance on a regular basis. Andre Drummond had 20 points, 14 rebounds, and like I said, I just want to see more aggression from him. I just really want him to just get nasty down low, man. Just like become Shaq down low. Like, I understand we're in this era of softness and flopping and everybody wants to be buddy-buddy, but man, when you step on that court, man, it's time to turn on a different switch. It's time to hit that gear and it's really just time to take it there, man. Like, you have to make people respect you. You have to make people respect Detroit and the Pistons. It starts with you at the end of the day. You're the only all-star on the team. You're the most recognizable face on the team and the most recognizable name. So it's about that time to really turn it up. And because of the lack of big man, especially really dynamic or, you know, big man with big names in the Eastern Conference, he'll probably make the All-Star team almost by default. And not that he shouldn't, it's just that I just want – when I say Andre Drummond All-Star, damn it, I want to feel like, hell yeah. Hell yeah. And he should be starting. That's how I want to feel. That's really how I want to feel. I don't want to feel like, I mean, you know, who else is going to make it over him? Or, you know, Anyhow, John Lewis had 14 points. He's most effective in the first half, I noticed. But he is rangy. He'll fire the occasional 3. I want him to stop that shit. But he is most effective within 18 feet. I seen it. He had a mismatch on me last night. I can't remember who was on him. It was either Monte Ellis or not Thaddeus Miles. Is that CJ Miles down there? It was somebody that was a lot smaller than him. He had a good 6-7 inches on the dude. You know, he backed him down for like half a second, you know, turned around and knocked down a little 10-foot shot from the baseline. And it was nice only because he recognized he had a height advantage and he could take his time with the shot. Now, when he's on like that, it's wonderful. He had 7 rebounds as well. And again, he would be nice coming off the bench if the Pistons could go and get a dynamic 4. A power forward. or go get a three. And for you, for those of you who don't know, a three is a small forward, a four is a power forward. So if he can go get you something really dynamic, there are trades available, man. And if you're 16 and 21, that means something's not working. It's no way, you know, you can be satisfied with this. You really can't, man. The East is terrible. It just really is. The Pacers aren't that much better than you. They really aren't. They're freaking, you know, a few games ahead of you. They're in seventh place and they're 18 and 18. You know what I mean? The East is terrible. For example, there's a real, it tails off a lot. First place, Cavs, obviously 26 and 7. Raptors, 23 and 11. Celtics, 21 and 14. So only seven games above 500 is pretty solid as the East. Then it just gets, you know, it's whatever after that. The Hornets are only three games up above 500, 19 and 16. How is that impressive? You know? You go over to the West, third place is the Rockets, 27 and 9. Now that's a record. Nobody's barely above 500 in you know, well, even the Grizzlies are 22 and 15. And the West is brutal, man. You got the freaking Kings that are 15 and 19. Like, that's where the talent drops off after seventh. Like, you can really, really tell who's hot garbage on a hot day. You know what I mean? You can tell where the talent deficiencies lie in the West just by looking at the placements right now. I mean, they're the only team in playoff contention. I can't even call it contention because we're in freaking the top of January. But they're 15 and 19. They're in eighth place if the playoffs were to start today. And I'm just trying to illustrate a point that's where the talent falls off after seventh place. Here in the Eastern Conference, the talent falls off after third place. So you can kind of see what I'm saying. The Pistons are sitting in 12th right now at 16 and 21. Now, if they ripped off like a 3 or 4 game winning streak, and I'll get to that in a second, they'll be sitting pretty just like that. For example, the Bulls are in 8th place, and they are 17 and 18. So if the Pistons were to rip off 3 straight games, they'll probably be up there. So that's all I'm saying. And that can happen. It really could. And I expect that it should. Now, back to these next 3 games when they could rip off this 3-game winning streak, but I highly doubt it because this is the most inconsistent team probably in the NBA. I mean, they almost rock you to sleep. they make you feel like, you know, they're the little engine that almost could, you know. They'll win, and then they'll lose. They'll win, and they'll get their ass whooped. You know, then they'll lose a few times, then they'll pull something off. It's usually against weaker competition, but they don't always beat weaker competition. So I'm excited. Thursday, they play Charlotte. And last time I thought they would beat Charlotte, they lost by 10. So I really don't know, man. I really don't know how to even call that game. I'll let you know how I feel about it come Thursday. Sometime in the afternoon, I'll let you know how I really feel about it. Cause, whew, man. Matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you right now. God damn it! Yeah. And this is being biased, and I'll admit I'm being biased. I don't give a damn. Pistons by 2. And I really want them to go on this little streak and prove to themselves. This is about time they have to prove to themselves that they can do this. That they can win. You don't need any goddamn players-only meetings. You don't need any more of those. What Reggie did against the Pacers was great. I really liked his approach to the game. Now, if he can approach that same way against Charlotte and then on Saturday against the Portland Trail Blazers and then the next Tuesday against Sacramento. And shout out to Sacramento. Not the Kings, but the city. I love Sacramento. Now, those are two disappointing teams. And by disappointing, I mean Portland and Sacramento. And one, I'm surprised they're still up there, but they'll probably fall off. But who knows, because it's the Eastern Conference team and the Charlotte Hornets, which is on Thursday. Now, I really feel like they need to build a winning streak, because they need, and I mean need, to build a little bit of confidence going forward. Because next Thursday, June the 12th, on TNT, do you hear me? On TNT national television, they will be in Oakland, California, and shout out to the beautiful city of Oakland, California, playing the Golden State Warriors. Now, last time they played the Warriors, they put up a real good fight. And I didn't think they were going to put up a fight like this, but goddamn it, they did. And they end up losing by 6, but they damn near won the game. The box score and the score doesn't really tell the tale of what happened in that game, but they damn near won that game, I'm telling you. They could have had it if they would have got their heads together. But it's the confidence, man. They play to not lose. They don't play to win. You know, as soon as they get a lead, they don't know what to do with it. So I'm really counting on them to try to figure out what works. And you got 3 games before national television to figure out what works. Because after you play the Warriors on TNT, you're on television again. And you're playing Utah on ESPN. Wednesday, June 18th, you have another nationally televised game against the Atlanta Hawks. Nationally televised. Which means you can either show up and try to do something, or you can get embarrassed on national TV, and who the hell wants that? It's bad enough to get, you know, embarrassed in front of, you know, the Detroit fans, the 11th biggest media market in the country. So it's like that times about 5. You know what I mean? So it's time to figure it out. And, you know, if you don't show up on next Thursday on TNT, then you have to hear from Barkley and all these people who are going to talk their shit, you know? And it's late. He's going to be all cranky and shit. Who wants to hear that, right? So these next 3 games are imperative. You hear me? Charlotte, Portland, Sacramento. Let's figure it out. Let's start with Portland. That's Thursday, okay? Reggie against Kemba. We all know that's going to be a shooting fest. That's going to be a 2-point guards going head-to-head to figure out who can chuck it more. And I love Kemba, but goddamn it, he don't pass that much. And Reggie, if he see Kemba knock down a couple threes, you better believe he's chucking them. You better believe it. Nobody's touching the ball that game if Kemba starts knocking down shots. But again, this is time. This is your chance, Detroit. This is your chance, Pistons, to really, really gain a little bit of ground. And I say gain a little bit because it's the Eastern Conference. Like I said, Charlotte's only 19-16, and they're in 4th freaking place. So all you got to do is win a couple of games, and you're back in the mix. It's not over in the Eastern Conference until 2 fat ladies sing. So all I'm saying is it's time to show up. Show out a little bit if you have to, but goddamn, it's time to show up. I really, really love that you managed to get 31 assists. That has to be a season high. It has to. I'm not sure if I've seen 31 assists in a box score. Shoot, all season. I really don't think. I don't know. I would have to go back and check. I would really have to and check the game logs. But, I mean, they were passing the ball, and I was impressed. I was taking note, literally. I was literally taking note, and I wasn't happy overall with the shot selection, and a lot of those threes they were jacking up just happened to start falling a little bit. 29 of them, for real, you only knocked down 10, but a couple of them really counted when the game was close. So it was a lot of the, no, what are you doing? All right, it went in, but don't do that shit again. But obviously, 10 for 29, 34%, they did it again. So I would just really like it if they just decided to really cut that out and really just start getting better shot selection. Like I said, if they hire Rip Hamilton to be some kind of shooting coach and he can get them to buy in to, you know, to his mentality of how he goes into selecting shots, it would go a long, long way into the Pistons' success. I'll leave it at that. So like I said, I'm here to be on a positive note tonight. I'll check you out tomorrow. I'm going to do a pregame before this game, because this game I feel is really, really important to get these next three games off to a great start. Because after tomorrow, the game against Portland and Sacramento, they're on the road. And Detroit doesn't really travel well. So what I'm hoping is, I'm just hoping that they can take the same approach. That's all. I really am. I will really appreciate if they, you know, especially Reggie. Reggie really, really got them going. He really, the way he was passing the ball and being aggressive and barking at people to, you know, to get back on D and to get open and do what they needed to do. That's the Reggie Jackson I've been waiting to see. And actually, when I was sitting there openly just yelling and wanting him to come back and take the reins from Ish Smith, that's the Reggie Jackson I expected to see. Not that let me shoot every time I touch the rock Reggie Jackson. That Reggie Jackson last night was the Reggie Jackson I want to see from now on. But like I said, I'll holler at you guys tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. And you can catch this episode on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, thecouchsports.com. And thank you for listening again. And I'm out. Peace, Detroit.